It's a Thursday night here, and as they do each week, a dozen or so singers have gathered together in this otherwise empty church. They sit in a square, on folding chairs facing each other, songbooks open in their laps, and they let loose their voices in the same way that groups like this have done since the days of Puritan New England. What you're hearing right now is the ongoing life of a choral tradition called Sacred Harp Music, shape note singing. There's a remarkable simplicity to it and a mathematical precision. It's like a human pipe organ. These singers clearly have a closeness and affection for each other, and the harmony of their collective voice is a thunderous sound. It vibrates the wood of the church pews and makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. But this isn't a church service, it's a social event, a gathering of kindred spirits with a common purpose, keeping alive an American legacy.
For me, it is a form of worship.
I love the power of the music. I'm able to lose myself in it completely, and the sound just overwhelms all my senses.
All the different pieces move around each other in sort of like a constantly dynamic mosaic.
No matter where I go and no matter who I sing it with, it always brings me to the same comfortable, familiar space.
You feel that transcendent feeling that is inherent in choral singing.
I've tried singing Gregorian chant and Buddhist chanting also, and I love this. It's just as great as any of those.
Singing this music often makes me think about death and mortality in, I think, a really good way.
I don't think about my life and myself. I can just sing and feel connected with all the people in the room, and it's really a good experience.
Everyone puts so much energy into the music, and you can feel everyone else's energy and your energy, and it just lifts you up.
The main thing I feel is the sense of being part of something that's bigger than I am in a lot of different ways. There's a spiritual aspect, there's a community aspect, there's a, you know, the sense of being part of a tradition which goes back, you know, 300 years, and also a sense of place. You know, I grew up in New England, and that's where this music got started in many ways, and I always sort of think about that when I'm singing it.
It's not what people might call beautiful, but it is sublime. Sacred harp music, also known as shape note singing, really has its roots in colonial New England.
This is Kevin Griffin Moreno. He's been singing and studying sacred harp music for the past 5 years.
And the style derives from 18th century English county parish music, the sort of singing that arose among congregations in rural churches in England. And homegrown composers here in America took this style and used the shaped note system in order to train musically illiterate people how to sight read music.
So in the system these early shape note singers devised for their songbooks, each note corresponds to a syllable, and each syllable corresponds to a simple geometric shape.
Well, there's four shapes.
This is Carly Goss. She's been a sacred harp singer since 1997.
Triangle, rectangle, a circle like a regular note head, and a diamond. The triangle, or some people will call it a flag, is fa. The circle is sol. The rectangle is la, and the diamond is mi.
So when Carly and Kevin sing a major scale, it sounds like this.
Fa, sol, la, fa, sol, la, mi, fa.
And when they sing a minor scale, it sounds like this.
La, mi, fa, sol, la, fa, sol, la.
Singing, you're going to sit in a hollow square facing inward, and you're going to have the tenors, which is the lead line, facing the altos, and then you'll have, let's see, to the right of the altos you'll have the basses, and they'll be facing the trebles. Tenors are both men and women, actually, and trebles also should be men and women singing in their respective octaves. So you end up actually getting six-part harmony rather than just the four.
We're one.
this is a living tradition. When we get together to sing, we're not reenacting anything. We're not trying to sound how people may have sounded in 1785. We have no idea how they sounded in 1785. Instead, each experience of singing is a new creation. It is not a recreation. It's much more art than science, particularly since we don't use any instruments. It's completely a cappella music.
Thus, the sacred harp in sacred harp music, the human voice. Kevin says the roots of this shape note system actually go back further than early colonial New England, all the way back to the 11th century. There was a Benedictine monk back then named Guido of Arezzo, and he developed a system of notation that was based on an 8th century hymn to John the Baptist.
What he did was he took the first syllable of each line of the first stanza of the hymn and made each syllable correspond to a note on a scale. The syllables originally were ut, re, mi, fa, sol, and la, and they came from the hymn, Utque ut laxis resonare fibris mira gestorum famuli tuorum. So even though the style that we sing in is not related to medieval or earlier types of music, but is very much an American homegrown tradition, its deepest roots reach back very far into history. It really is a love it or hate it type of music. One thing you'll commonly hear is that people will drive 5 hours to sing shape note music, but they wouldn't necessarily cross the street to listen to it. It's much more oriented toward participation rather than passive enjoyment. The songs almost all come from the Protestant Christian tradition, but we all come together in the music and in the fellowship of singing. That enables us to rise above whatever differences we might have.
I actually am not a religious person at all, but a lot of the words move me anyway because they're something that any person can connect to, I think, in their daily life. Some of them are less specific than others. Sometimes I end up sort of approaching the songs as metaphors for things that are going on in my life, and that's helpful for me. And then also just knowing how important the words are to other folks that I'm singing with makes me want to sing them loudly and strongly, and I know that they can lift other people up even if they don't always me, though they do. They do lift me up too.
The old Protestant lyrics to a lot of these songs are hardly what you'd call light reading. Here are the words written in 1709 to a song called Tribulation. Death, 'tis a melancholy day to those who have no God, when the poor soul is forced away to seek her last abode. In vain to heaven she lifts her eyes, for guilt, a heavy chain, still drags her downward from the skies to darkness, fire, and pain.
These words and their images and their concepts are occasionally very, very difficult. They're very challenging. This is music that forces you to confront death, mortality, illness, moral and personal deficiencies and flaws in a way that we very, very rarely get a chance to. Generally, we spend our lives running from these uncomfortable thoughts. And so this music puts you right up against these things that we spend our lives trying to run from.
I have walked out of a Thursday night singing feeling closer to the people there than my own family, even. When it clicks, you sort of become like one body, I think.
Sacred harp singers Carly Goss and Kevin Griffin Moreno. Their Shape Note singing group meets Thursday nights at First United Evangelical Church in Fells Point. The gatherings are open to all. The only requirement is that you show up ready to sing. You can find out more about the group and the history of Sacred Heart Music online at our website, signalradio.org. For The Signal, I'm Aaron Henkin.
And am I born to die, to lay this body down, and must my trembling spirit fly into